I actually wanted to ask you to pause. I felt stupid, but I wanted you to pause it for a second because I was really processing like that she was in this, and I was trying to think of like
the timing
when 30 Rock was and everything. After. We're right, but I was confused for a second, and I was like, there's no way. Like, and so I don't know why the hell she was there. She comes there every year. I like totally missed the explanation.
Every few months, I think.
Every few months,
every
apparently.
Few months. Okay.
Yeah, it's weird.
Okay.
Psychotherapy on wheels.
Yeah. So now we have to do a podcast, I guess.
Are you recording?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Here we go.
Here we go. Whoa.
Burp. KT can't burp on command.
I can't. I wish I could. There you go.
Jesus Christ. Okay, come on. Here, I got it. Come on, Adam. Come on, Adam. You got this.
Dear God.
This actually happens before every episode. We just cut out all the other times he did this.
Thanks,
by
Parker.
The way.
Am I starting too high? Do,
do, do, do. Well, you're starting with the wrong notes. It's more what it is.
I've got the end credits
you go,
stuck in my head.
I think you. I think it always starts. Do do do. Is that sound right?
Yeah,
do,
that's right.
Yeah,
what
that
is wrong with
better.
Both of you?
I'm just.
It's election night. We are recording this on election night.
Yeah.
We're all fucked up.
Come on, you have to do this for Pennsylvania. Good luck with this part. And you almost got there. So soothing.
Yay.
Yeah, I fucked that up. That was way too high.
It really was.
Welcome to Ever Would and Never Wouldn't, a podcast where I, Adam Lawver, make my friends...
Kamala Harris.
Kamala.
Kamala. No, I'm...
That's Kamala
that's
Harris.
That's my name.
And yeah. I'm Joe Walrus Biden.
And I was lying. I'm not Adam Lawver. My name is Mike Pence. Where I make my friends Kamala Harris and Joe Walrus
Biden.
Joe Walrus Biden watch and discuss the first season of the hit WB teen/family drama Ever Would.
Don't forget Groundbreaking.
Yeah.
Groundbreaking early 2000s.
Especially
which I'm
going to
say, this episode, we broke some ground in this episode.
Groundbreaking.
What ground did it break?
Are
let's
you
let's
kidding?
Do it. Let's get into it.
Adam's like, I genuinely don't remember what just
I don't understand.
I've, like I've never seen a show that dealt with ballet about falling leaves.
Yeah.
The autumnal season as told through the expression of dance.
So brave.
Oh. Mm.
All right. Well, yeah. Well, thoughts, feelings.
Well, in the middle of the episode, I was like, "This episode is so good." Mm-hmm. And I said it out
this
loud.
This is a great episode.
Yes. Yes. Oh,
it is
through and through.
Really good. Yeah.
This is my definitely favorite so far.
We're talking about episode tonight. We're talking about episode six, season one, episode six, The Doctor Is In, which I totally forgot that the doctor in question in the title is
a different doctor,
Andy or Harold, but it is Dr. Gretchen Trott, played by
Jane Krakowski.
Kamala. Jane Krakowski from 30 Rock and
30 Rock.
The Adventures of Emily Schmidt.
What?
Kimmy Schmidt. The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh, yeah, she was in that.
The Adventures of Emily Schmidt. The Adventures? I had no idea what you were talking about.
Neither did I.
The Adventures of Emily Schmidt. I thought it sounded like a young adult novel or something. Uh-huh. I'm like, she wrote a young adult novel.
It's the same author of Harriet the Spy.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's the summary of this episode from everwood.fandom.com/wiki/the_doctor_is_in.
We have a fandom now.
Shut up.
That's
not what we're talking.
You can edit that out, Parker.
This is not a Pork Fried Dice podcast.
No, it's not.
The summary is Amy is heartbroken and Ephraim is furious at Andy. When Colin's parents request a risky operation and Andy initially declines. Meanwhile, Delia is forbidden from playing with her only friend, Magilla, after his mother discovers them wearing makeup and dancing. A traveling psychologist, Dr. Trott, aggravates Dr. Abbott. Amy has a panic attack. Nice little summary. This episode was written by Vanessa Taylor, directed by the father of Jake and Maggie, Gyllenhaal.
No, it's Gyllenhaal. It's Gyllenhaal. Yeah.
Vanessa Taylor is an American screenwriter and television producer. She worked on seasons 2 and 3 of Game of Thrones. Interesting.
Great.
Anyway, let's talk about the episode.
Okay.
This was great. It was great. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
What rises to the surface for you guys?
Well, obviously.
What? What's the, obvious?
Mulligatawny. What's his name? McGillicuddy. What the fuck is his name? Magilla?
Magilla. Oh my gosh, you guys.
I remember the name.
No, that's crazy, but also like. Me mishearing his name very early on in watching this.
What did you think it
was? A different connotation now. Remember, I thought they kept calling him I thought it was Michaela.
Oh, Michaela. Yeah, right.
If we go back and listen
you
to
must
it,
have had to bite your tongue.
You will
so
hear
hard.
Me be like, that is interesting.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Yep. I remember you being interested about a couple of things that we were saying about that bully. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like Magilla. I could not hear that. I only heard Michaela and it was very weird to me.
Well, like it was so weird. Like I remember the first episode with him, like you guys while watching kept on saying like, oh, I wonder what his genitalia look like.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? It's so weird. Like why? Like they have no idea.
Yeah.
What the story is.
I do that for every character.
Every character, to be fair, every new character, you're like, I leave
the podcast and then I go and sketch each character's genitalia.
I can't wait for you to get back into art because I remember when you used to be into it, every show we would watch, I would just get this.
I just have books full of penises and vaginas and both and all kinds of mixes.
And ambiguous, yeah. Uh-huh.
You should tell, next time you play with Dom, you should tell him when we used to watch Lost. I mean, that was half of the pages.
I will be sure to tell him that.
Oh my god.
I'm sure he'd appreciate it.
Yes, he'll know exactly what.
Mm-hmm. Like, what does that much cocaine use do to someone's penis?
So the Magilla storyline is really solid. I think this is a great example of the show being kind of groundbreaking and dealing with subject matter that definitely at the time,
I think even still, to be honest, I mean, probably not as much as then, but still,
we don't get to watch as much TV as we did back then. But there's a lot more representation of many things now, but still not enough, of course.
So this episode circles back. So in the last episode, we saw Magilla. We saw him kind of pull out a chest of like girly clothes.
Right.
And dolls. Or like, no, a doll. Dolls.
Which like, because the whole time I thought maybe the mom was going to be supportive. Obviously she's a little more supportive than the dad, but like how does he have these things?
They're hidden.
Right. Why, yeah, right, why but are like, they?
How would he have gotten? He had a collection of dolls. He steals from people. Oh, I guess that's true.
He does steal from kids.
Oh my
school.
God. That's so sad. His little stolen collection of dolls. That's
I'm
like,
assuming.
Oh my goodness.
And dresses and makeup.
He stole the makeup from his mom.
Well, yes, we know that. Yeah. I heard mm-hmm. that part, and obviously that would be why the parents are so stressed. They're like worried that he's mm-hmm. stealing. They know that he's doing it, and they're trying to deal with it. And geez, Louise. Yeah, that, I mean, it was awesome. I loved the whole thing. It was so sad. Yeah. Oh man, mm-hmm. for both little kids, it was so sad.
His and, line like, about like, no, like, telling her that the song is about sex, like clearly, yes. like it's something that like he is more
is
pre-
curious
aware of.
Right. Or, yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, it doesn't. I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily, but I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like, I wonder. I mean, this is getting like way into. This is an Everwood podcast, but I'm like, I wonder. I wonder if in society, like, it's not like you're showing little kids pictures of genitalia all right. the time, so they're not necessarily going to know exactly what. What more commonplace what genitalia is, look yeah. like. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. But that's an interesting question, mm-hmm. I think. But I don't know if we're going to solve that on an Everwood podcast. All right, let's do some research.
it's a great little storyline. It's definitely like, you know, I remember just being really curious at first. First time watching, like, what is going on? Like, yeah. why are they freaking out about this? Mm-hmm. And it's heartbreaking to see, like, yes. how Delia is affected by it, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Things are starting to melt. You think I should ring again?
You rang 4 times. They don't want us to come in.
There we go. See? Good evening. I'm Andy Brown, and I think you know my daughter, Delia. Hope you don't mind our dropping by like this. We rang the bell a couple times and figured you...
I really have some...
Well, I'll just get right to the point. It's come to my attention that there's been some kind of misunderstanding.
My daughter's
under the impression that you don't want her playing with your son, Stuart.
Do you really want to discuss this in front of your daughter?
What's this, Jenny?
This is a friend of Stuart's, Howard, and her father.
Andy Brown, pleased to meet you. You know, Delia was telling me an amusing story on the way over here. She said that... She and your son were playing the other day, and this is hard for even me to believe because Delia has been a tomboy ever since she was in the womb. But that, well, they were playing dress-up. Well, I can assure you that as a physician that at this age, this kind of play is perfectly all right. All the same, if it bothers you, you don't have to worry because it won't happen again.
Why didn't you tell me about this?
I was going to.
Keep your daughter away from her son.
I'm sorry?
You heard me.
Please don't come back.
Let's get these home before they melt.
Dad, is something wrong with me?
Nothing is wrong with you, sweetheart. There is nothing wrong with you.
Is there something wrong with me? I just wanted to be like, Delia, the only thing wrong with you is that you're dumb enough to ask that.
Yes, seriously, for fucking real. And you know what, though? Like, that also, was like a poor writing choice for me in terms of like, even this dad who's like learning how to be a dad should be able to fucking turn to their kid and say, listen, some parents fucking suck. And I'm sorry, this is not about you. Like, yeah. Like, I know I made the joke while we watched it that, like, he didn't just say, wow, they suck as soon
those
as they close the door. Right, that's what I said. I said he should have turned and just said, wow, those people are assholes. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's just a platitude. To her, it would just sound like a platitude. There's nothing
right.
wrong
parents
with you.
Parents say that to their kids all
right.
the time, that kind
like,
of thing.
You have to turn and say, listen, there's a lot of shit in this world, and there's some shitty people. That's the kind of stuff I say to my kids. Like, some people just suck. Like, mm-hmm. right, be kind, try to be forgiving. But some people, if they suck, they just suck. And they make your life harder. Sorry, kids. Like, I'm not going to apologize for these assholes that just, right. like, made you lose your friend. Doesn't mean your friend's an asshole, but his parents sure suck. Like, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Andy's a bad father.
I just think it's weird
like
that he doesn't
their dad
even...
to look like an asshole, too. The guy's dad.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
He's like, he has had 7 beers tonight. You can tell. He yeah. wasn't even acting drunk.
Right.
Just like, that's mm-hmm. how he's dressed, is yeah. that he's had 7 beers tonight.
Yes.
And like, we saw Andy kind of take that kind of attitude with the teacher, with Miss Violet.
Right.
Like,
that's true.
We know he's capable of it. I just think in this, like, it seems like he's taken aback. None of us do. Like, what is happening?
But like, at the end, he just, like, I get it that he didn't get the first time, but that second time, I don't know. Like, he's not. Well, maybe, wait, am I skipping times? I think it was like two parts of the conversation that I'm thinking of. I'm getting confused.
Okay.
There was like, at first he definitely didn't know what was going on. Like, right. Even though we all knew what was going on, but there was a moment where it seemed to click and then he still didn't like have any like, well, hey, my kid feels like there's something wrong with her. Is there something that we can...
Which he ends up going to the mother and asking like, hey, like, Delia, right,
do this for her.
Affected by this, can we,
yeah,
like, do something here?
I just, but he still doesn't support her enough. I don't know. I don't that like moment. That parenting. Yes,
it's in clear that moment. With the parents' reaction that they have an issue with their son's expression of gender.
Yes.
And that's their own problem, and that's nothing to do with his daughter, right?
Mm-hmm. Even something like, some parents don't like it when their sons play with dolls. Right. I'm sorry, that's not correct.
Your daughter just heard the phrase, keep your daughter away from my kid or whatever.
Like, and he doesn't immediately say, well, that was completely wrong, and they have their own issue. I don't know, like, wow, yeah. As a parent, it's really jarring to me. I really super did not like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so if it was, like... I'm not a parent. Does it factor into it that like that he still wants there to be some hope for a friendship between Delia and Magilla? And so like if he immediately kind of like took this really hard line against his parents, that like that would be like, is he trying to be delicate?
I don't even necessarily. I mean, that's definitely the difference between you and me. Your instinct is to be like fuck those people. They're assholes.
Well, right. But also, I know I'm an asshole. But right. Like I'm saying, I don't mean that he has to say it to them. Mm-hmm. I'm saying when they close the door in their
immediately
face,
go down to your daughter.
You go down to your kid and you say, listen to me. Those people are wrong,
right?
And it is not you.
Yeah, this
like,
is not
about
you.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what he does? He just says like, "Well, we should get this ice cream home before it melts."
Right,
and
yes.
He walks away.
Right. Yeah, leaves her there at the door.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like, that's why it was so bizarre part.
And you
like,
know, I think we can. I mean, you know, totally. And I think it is in line with like the overarching thing with
his
Andy,
arc.
Which is that
he
doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of expressly investigated at the end.
Yeah.
I love that moment early on when Ephraim has to tell him like Ephraim kind of rolls his eyes at the dinner table and he's like, you have to have a parent talk. Like,
yeah,
I've seen
that was very,
before.
Very good. Yeah. Because it is usually the mothers who are the ones that reach out, make friends with all the parents. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to be sexist. It's just usually traditionally how
gender
it's
roles,
been.
Whatever.
But I think the other thing that I'm going back to what we were just saying, though, like she at the end clearly to me still didn't seem to have gotten that message that this is not you.
I bought you the hat you like. Take it.
I don't like that hat.
Yeah, you do. You said.
Okay. It's too small. People don't know it's from a girl, so... I hate girls. Well, I hate boys. All boys? No. You don't hate girls, I guess. Goodbye, Magilla. Goodbye, Delia.
Ready to go, kiddo? How did that go?
Fine.
Maybe you two could stay in touch with letters or email. You'll make new friends, do you?
I don't want to make new friends. I don't want to say goodbye to people anymore.
It seemed like she was still a little, like, is it me? You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
it
we
didn't
also didn't.
Seem,
I'm
like,
sure there was obviously there must have been a
conversation. She didn't go up to him and go, "Hey, I think you're great the way you are." To acknowledge in a way that, like, oh yeah, he had the talk with her, so she knows what's going on.
Well, he probably didn't tell her.
But that's what I'm saying is stupid. Like, what kind of parenting is that? To not explain to your child that it is the parent's problem with their son, not her. You see what I'm saying?
No, I understand.
It didn't have to be about the gender thing or anything. It could have just been, listen, you need to go to your friend. And like, if we had told our kids, like, go to your friend, they're sad, but you're never going to be able to see them again. But I
think if they had more time in an episode, we probably would have had another conversation.
It didn't even have to be another conversation. It just had to be a moment where you see in the little girl that she knows that there's that this kid is the one to feel sorry for, not her. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I hear that.
I mean, I think her direction was, be sad because you're saying goodbye to somebody at this point.
I think I just was so excited about this episode and all the really fun things that happened in it that I was like a little disappointed by like that. That parenting seemed really extra crappy. Like you let your kid, you allow your kid to think it's their fault.
I mean, I think, you know, the fact that he went back to them, like that's hard to fucking do and like did. You know, had that
right.
That step.
I'm not saying he's an evil guy or he's a bad guy. I'm saying that, like, what the fuck is that? Just supposed to be like, you think that that's an okay parent? Welcome to the parenting podcast. Like, I just think it's bizarre that she seems to be down the entire episode and no hint of that sassiness that she has. And if she knew was something was wrong, she would like have her little energy that she had at the beginning of the season. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I just think it steals something from that character. We like the little sassy girl character. Mm-hmm. And she didn't get any of that like sparkle back just to say, hey, your parents are doinks. You know, I don't know, like something, just to say something. Meh.
Yeah, I mean, I think that in the economy of like, time of for like a network TV show, I think that from their perspective, like having him say there is nothing wrong with you, Delia, there is nothing wrong with you, like like that was like a check, we got it right. And then it shifted right
it's
from
a platitude.
Well, for you that would have been a 40 minute conversation.
Yes, I know, I'm a talker.
but yeah, then like the sadness over I don't get to hang out with Magilla anymore turns into like the sadness of like just saying goodbye to her friend, which I guess ending. Is kind of the same, but like it's really heartbreaking. And like I was like tearing up during that scene where she's where they say goodbye.
Yes.
And like and then like in the car, like she doesn't get any of that like sass back. Like her last line in the episode is, I don't want to say goodbye to people anymore.
That like it is so like, sad. So heartbreaking. Oh my goodness.
It's terrible.
But like powerful. I think I kind of like that they let Delia sit with that. And I think that the actress Vivian Cardone is like incredible in this episode.
Yeah, I agree. Like I don't really mean that she needs to be her regular self. I think that the sadness still makes sense that the kid's leaving. It's her only friend. I get it. But I still feel like it shows a really, really bad parenting choice if she doesn't even acknowledge at any point that she knows. Because for me, the acting at the end felt still like she thought it was her.
Or her fault, you see what I'm saying?
Like, that's what I know I keep harping on it, but it just felt like it didn't just feel like she was just sad that he was leaving.
Sure.
It felt like she was still awkward around him. Like, it's so awkward because I don't know if you because
we
like
never hear
me, going
her
back to
acknowledge
that kind of
the
thing,
fact that it's not her fault,
right?
Or like,
yeah,
at
like
least
to believe
agree with
or,
that
yeah.
or somehow. Yeah,
I know it's a network. It could have been a like one liner in there, I think.
Yeah, no, I totally hear that.
When we reshoot Everwood in a year,
we'll make
director's
sure,
we'll make cut, sure KT's cut.
Yeah, KT's
cut. We'll edit out that scene with Chris Pratt and put her in saying, I understand it wasn't my fault. Thanks for having that 40-minute lecture to me, Dad.
Any thoughts about that one bright appearance in this episode when Amy is trying to get Colin's parents to sign off on the surgery? So she's having them over for dinner, and she's like, Bright, you can't leave. Like, we both have to be here.
Bright, where are you going?
Got a date.
Tonight? No. You have to be here for dinner.
I don't think so. I got one shot with Jim and Maxwell. Mom's tuna cornflake casserole. Not gonna seal the deal.
Bright, you can't go. You have to be here.
What?
Mom invited the Harts over.
So?
So I've got all the research prepared about the surgery. All you have to do is just...
I thought they already said no.
They could change their minds.
Fat chance. Besides, I don't think we should be getting involved.
We're already involved, Bright. Colin is your best friend. You have to help me. You have to tell them
that... It's a lost cause, Amy.
What is wrong with you? Don't you want him back?
And he's like, oh, I don't even care.
He's like, that sounds like the most awkward dinner. No, thank you.
I'm going to go get laid instead.
I mean, I wonder if he ever becomes an actual character because, like, that's so... what the fuck? Like,
it's so tertiary.
Right. I hope he remains that way. I'm sure he doesn't because it's Chris fucking Pratt and he's in everything.
That's why Adam only vouches for season one.
Yeah. Oh, no. It becomes the Chris Pratt show.
Boom. You had a theory at one point about Bright.
Yeah?
And the accident.
Oh, okay.
That's why I was wondering if this triggered anything in you about with that theory because
yeah.
His kind of like, I don't want to be here.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well that confirms it, I guess. Eric doesn't have any.
I don't remember what was it his fault or something, the accident?
No, nothing was explicitly said, but I was thinking that he might be involved because of like kind of how he was. He's like had a lot of guilt and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that scene in this episode like is another little like breadcrumb on that trail.
Yeah. I didn't even realize that, but that makes total sense. Yeah. Because otherwise I'm like, he's not his best friend. Obviously, this guy literally doesn't care. That's how I read that. Oops. It's because it's fucking Chris Pratt acting. He sucks.
No, but I hate to say it, but it's kind of there in the performance.
They wrote it after the fact because he's a bad actor.
So this whole storyline is like trying to get Andy to do the surgery on Colin. And this kind of intersects a little bit with the McGillis storyline when Edna takes him into the office and explains to him, like, look, he, you know, that Stuart was born with ambiguous genitalia. Mm-hmm. And then Andy's like, oh, I should go talk to them. Like, oh, I can do this. And she cuts him off a few times and finally says, no, listen.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anybody has ever actually said this to you.
Yep.
There are some things that you can't fix. Mm-hmm. And like, and her delivery of that line is so good.
Yes.
Well, the situation will only become more complicated as he approaches puberty. I should probably talk to them about something.
You can talk till you're blue in the face, Doc. It's not going to change this family's ideas of how to raise their child.
Now, not change per se, but I could...
No.
All I'm saying is I could just...
No. Let me tell you this, and I mean no offense by it, but I'm not entirely sure anyone's ever told you this before. There are some things that you can't fix.
I could just see the words can't fix, like, underlined in the original script.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was a great moment. And absolutely. It's like at this time when he's trying to solve that, but also grappling with like different kind of impulses and like feelings, I guess, different ways he could go around the Colin situation. Mm-hmm. Like his instinct, I'm sure, as a surgeon is like, yeah, I could do this. But now he's also like a father and a member of the community.
Invested and in the actual people.
Yeah. Oof.
All of this in an episode where there's a psychologist in town and, you know, telling him like, you know, if people who ignore their neuroses are like
going to break down.
And I love that scene where he's like, okay, so tell me, like, what happens?
So lay it on me. What does happen to those unfortunate individuals who deny their own neuroses?
The effects vary, of course. In extreme cases, the pattern can be something along the lines of complete emotional spiral, resulting in total breakdown.
You don't say.
But like she's talking and there's like this just shot of his face. And I was just thinking to myself, like, oh my God, like this could be like a horror television show. This is about Dr. Brown becoming like a serial killer. Yeah.
Like we also
edit this into like a horror trailer. Yeah, and I would like absolutely. Have that shot and her talking like, and like the screen goes dark.
Uh-huh.
What also in that scene, was this just me or was there like a vague sort of thread of like, minor sexual tension with like her pulling her clothes like off of the
what I wrote down was what the fuck not leaving the room when changing equals insane. Like I don't care that there's a little room separator, but like that's not medically okay, doctor. Like, but yes, it was weird because like I thought you know, they were setting up her character. Jane Krakowski is gorgeous and so she speaks so well. She's so, you know what I mean? Like, she's so perfect.
And she really plays that up in this part.
Yes. Like, she's so really prim precise. And like, yes, precise. That was the word I was trying to think of in my non-precise way.
This means precise.
This is precise. That's good for a podcast.
Yep.
Yeah, like, I felt like there was like going to be flirtation there. And so that scene was a little weird for me. And also, I think I was thinking of something else at that point. Why was she there? Was it for a dermatological appointment or just a regular checkup?
I feel like I like blanked out for the first 5 seconds of that scene because he was like shining a light at her skin.
Yes, can you tell me, Adam, what the fuck was happening
there? Did they explain it in the show why she was there?
Why is this lady going to this doctor? I don't, is it just because it's free?
I think it's just a checkup.
No, that's so weird. That's so bizarre.
But it is something like, I think something skin related. Yeah.
Is it?
It must be. There was a very specific thing he was doing.
So maybe it developed on the road or something. Because like I'm saying, doesn't she have a normal practitioner?
Exactly. She must have her own.
She's not like somebody that apparently is in need of free medicine. And she's showing, she's like, hello, doctor. What's up?
Well,
I
guess
check me out, please.
I guess I'll say that, I mean, like, yeah, Eric, you're all right to identify.
Okay.
You're both right to identify the vaguest of like weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Romantic.
Like not developed at all. Just like these little like things.
They're
that,
not going for it in this episode. I will say drain.
Drain. Did you both do it or was that just him?
He did it again. Okay. It's because of the
Drain. I will say Jane Krakowski will be back later in the season.
Okay, cool.
And so they're, I think they're setting some stuff up there for a later episode.
Interesting.
But for now, she's primarily here to give a perspective on Andy.
Yeah.
And also to give Dr. Abbott a lot of like fun stuff to play with.
Oh my God.
I love Dr. Abbott.
You have
like my favorite character. And like, yeah, we get to see him just be all like uppity and like defensive around Dr. Trott. I love that he doesn't believe in psychotherapy or anything, and his little like when Louise stands up to him, like he comes in and like kind of rants and stuff,
right?
And he goes into his office, and she just goes and says, "Good morning, Dr. Abbott."
Yep.
And he opens the door. The look on his face is like so suspicious and perfect.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Well, it was like, it was almost like he was confused about, like, didn't I already do this?
Yeah.
Like,
But guess what?
You're rude as fuck and said nothing. It was so good.
She stands up to him. She says, "You can hang your own scarf." And he's like, "Oh." And he takes his scarf out and just barges into the RV. The therapy RV.
And that's when I said he was a villain, because what the hell?
Yeah, right.
His secretary, who is a nurse, like he's treating her like garbage and like she stands, I mean, it was very, you know, I think in the context of like, you know, female and male power structure, I was like, what the fuck? I liked this character before, but what is he going to say now? And then it turned out, okay, I still love him.
Like, even when he's villainous, I find him very likable.
He's I still wanted to see, but I was just like, oh no, you better not cross this line. Like, come on.
You're the one who told me my lack of assertiveness was limiting my career potential.
Oh, no, I
only... So I signed up with Dr. Trott. You can hang your own scarf.
No. Dr. Trott! Dr. Trott! Dr. Trott! What do you call this?
A scarf?
Not that. My assistant, Louise, she was a completely normal person before you got your rabid, invasive, self-indulgent paws on her. And stop filling people's heads with this garbage. Have you no scruples? You wreck people's lives and you charge them for it. You're like a televangelist.
God, I am having a breakthrough.
Oh, all right, all right.
Excuse me, Brenda.
Excuse me, I'm not done talking yet.
I am done listening, though. Good day, Harold.
Oh, no, it is not. It is not a good day. Do you hear me? Dr. Feelgood, I will have you evicted. I will have you towed! You're all crazy.
You're all crazy.
Yes, yeah. You're all crazy.
I also love how handily she just pushed him out.
Yes.
It was effortless
yes.
for her.
He's
just
like a little feather.
He just floated out.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So, yeah, fun stuff for Dr. Abbott.
I will say, whatever the lady's name is, the realtor, the one who was there,
yes.
who came in,
yes.
she's maybe my least favorite character in the whole show.
Oh, it's so funny.
Really?
I was actually just going to say, I think she's such a present, like, downtown little small town person.
Yeah.
100%. So you
it's
might
great,
not like the character,
great
but
caricature.
I think the actress
I think
is
I just got tired of
job.
It after the first episode.
Yes, I understand because we don't like those kind of people, but it's
but
such a great depiction of.
And it's not like she's used like too much. Like I think she's used in the right doses.
No, but.
No. Yeah, exactly.
I think it's just
it
the same
like
joke every time though.
But that's the point. So like towns have those fucking people.
Yeah.
That are so present and annoying, or just they're just present, and mm-hmm. you see them all the time, and you know, hey, that's that guy in the wheelchair that goes.
Maybe
down
it's
the street
just that I
day.
Hate her.
Like,
sure.
Right. Like as a
well,
person.
All right. Well, future guest of the podcast, Lee Garlington.
But as that character,
doing a great job.
Your character.
See, she's comparable to the beginning of the last one with the guy that was folding the newspapers. That's what I'm saying. She gives to me that real town vibe. Sorry, yeah. I just had to get
nice.
That. Mm-hmm.
No, very, I think you're totally right.
Yeah.
KT and I are right. Eric is wrong.
That's okay, true. Check mark.
Mm-hmm. You got that. What's that, 5 for this episode? That's the average.
I love when Dr. Abbott goes to Dr. Brown's office and the scene starts with Edna, his mother, being like,
oh my God,
you could be the Unabomber for all I know.
Not today, mother.
God,
not today.
This show has this episode is so fucking good. There were so many moments that I was like, yay!
Like, it's like, yeah. Funny lines, fun moments like that. But then like that scene right after that, where he goes into Dr. Brown's office and we learn that there was a reason that Dr. Brown recognized him. I guess they were both like, he said that I was
leaving the VA.
I was finishing up at the VA when you got there. And so we get this kind of history of like, oh, like Dr. Abbott, like Harold saw the rise of Dr. Brown and was like envious of it. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to be a surgeon. He was going to be a surgeon, but he says I didn't have the hands for it. Mm-hmm. But that speech then when he's like, the hearts don't know you. Mm-hmm. I know you. Mm-hmm. And like it's just this brilliant speech. And we have to, if this ever gets edited and released, I will like Parker, I will find the episode, find the scene, and I will put in the audio here because it's so good.
Yes.
So good.
And that moment where he almost cried for a second, I just wanted to just God.
Love what you've done with the place.
You're examining table paper, some tongue depressors, sky's the limit.
I find it's more convenient to store extra swabs under the table.
Did you really come into my office for the first time since I've been here to tell me where you store your swabs?
First day you came here, you thought you recognized me.
Yeah, you said it was from the mental ward.
That was a good one. You did recognize me. I was finishing up at the VA when you got there. Oh, there's no reason you should remember me. You were harder to miss. Even then, we all knew we were in the presence of something greater than ourselves. It's like being on the junior high basketball team with Michael Jordan. The chief would describe each new feat of yours with unmitigated jealousy, almost hatred.
Gee, I always thought Doug liked me.
He hated you. You brought him face to face with his worst fear, that he would never be extraordinary. He met you. He abandoned his dreams of greatness. He wasn't alone.
So you were going to be...
A surgeon. Yes. I was almost a surgeon. Unfortunately, I discovered I didn't have the hands for it. So after my residency, I just came back here, joined my father's practice in this miserable little town. I became a family doctor. No small thing in times like these. But you,
You are a man with a gift much larger than yourself, larger even than your own hopelessly bloated ego, if that's possible.
Thank you.
Sharon and James Hart don't know who you are. I do. I do. They don't know what you can do for their son. They're terrified of making a mistake. I know, and you know. Somewhere within the world's thickest dura, you owe it to this kid to perform whatever miracle you've got up your sleeve. You owe it to Colin and to his parents and to my poor heartbroken daughter and to the universe or whoever decided that you would be Leonardo and I would be less remarkable. Hell, you owe it to me.
With that big speech.
When he said, my daughter, like at the end, oh God, my heart, like, oh.
Yeah, like that is definitely like the best scene of the episode, maybe the best season of the series so far. Best scene where like, and we kind of get a taste of that at the ballet recital when Dr. Abbott turns to say to Andy, like, Amy told us the Harts told us your decision.
Mm-hmm.
It's safe. It's what I would do. And mm-hmm. he's like, thank you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Glad you agree. And he's like, I said, it's what I would do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a great little moment.
It was.
I love that right after the scene where you called him a villain.
Yes. Well, because like, what the hell? Like, it was so crazy before that.
and this, I think, is like the quintessential, like what I would offer to people to kind of show, like to explain why I'm so fucking crazy about everyone.
But you know what sucks though is that it would not work because you need to see how Dr.
You need
Abbott
to know
is
yeah.
the character.
Uh-huh. You need to get to know them. Mm-hmm. But like, but it's so perfect. And yes. What's funny is that like then, in a scene near the end with Ephraim and Amy, and we can talk about this stuff, whatever. But like you said while we were watching it, you were like, this part of the show is for teenagers.
Yeah, it was literally the scene right after.
I said that because for me, it was like, it was so ridiculous that they had to spell out emotions.
You know how before when
remember
I said I wasn't
okay?
Remember
when my face was like this? Look at this chart, five-year-old. Face like this. Down when mouth. That's a sad face. Face up like this. Happy face. Do you know emotions now? Like, what the heck? It was so
when Amy
weird.
Was like, I lied.
Yeah.
I lied. I wasn't okay.
And Eric
So with like, but this is the thing, is that like, that's why I've always been very aware of the fact that like Everwood seems like it's like this just another like weird like teenage drama show, and that is there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I, it is what it is. I find it endearing. It's the nostalgia element for me partly. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is all right, cool. And like every time in like the previously on, every time they show the scene where Amy is like, Ephraim Brown, meet Colin Hart. Like, I crack up laughing.
Yes.
It's so, like, cliche.
Uh-huh.
Ridiculous.
Yep.
But I love it. But that teenage stuff is so perfectly balanced out, I think, by what, I would call, I guess, the adult storyline.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
But really, just amazing character work being done in this show.
Yeah.
Like, just incredible.
Like, it's interesting, like, so listeners, if you're young enough, you might not know what I'm talking about, but TV shows used to have time slots where you would have to go to a TV channel at a certain time and watch a show. And the later it was, generally, the more for adults it was.
Yes, absolutely.
But I'm not sure where this would fall.
It would be a family drama. It would be something that you could watch with your kids.
Right. It'd be absolutely. Like in the middle. Yeah. You know what I mean? It'd be like, it's not on at 4.
Right.
Because that's just for the kids
that's
getting home from school.
That's just for a bunch of kids acting.
Right, exactly.
Right.
But at 10 o'clock, it's probably too late.
Yeah.
So it's somewhere in the middle. What's in the middle?
8:30.
It's probably a good time slot for it.
I think so, too.
I guess we could actually look up when it aired.
We could.
Adam probably knows. He still has an alarm set.
He has an alarm set?
I think it was Mondays at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Okay.
Let me see if I can... Everwood's series finale aired on a Monday. Oh, no. Mondays... 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Man, I said 8:30. I was you close. By the way, as we're just randomly saying things about this, the time slot, can I say that the kid that plays Ephraim needs to learn how to turn like a human? He turns like a door. Every time he moves, It's his whole, yeah, like,
I know what you're talking
door
about.
Door movement. What the hell?
Yes. He's grieving.
He doesn't want to say goodbye to people anymore.
Oh, no.
Future guest of the podcast, Gregory Smith, why do you turn like a door? Funny, goofy teenage stuff. We got Ephraim playing piano again, and you said why we're watching Quick Pan Away.
Yeah. And, yep.
Poor guy.
Oh, it's rough. So Ephraim kind of calling out Andy about doing the surgery, mm-hmm, or not. I really did like the look on Andy's face when Ephraim kind of confronted him. His first time confronting him after he found out that, like, oh, it was
right.
Andy
said no.
Who said no to doing it.
Mm-hmm. Need some help with that?
I got it.
Is Amy nervous about the recital?
She's too pissed off.
Well, these are difficult decisions. What the hearts decide is their prerogative, and we have to respect that.
What the hearts decided? What you decided for them. This is so typical. The one time it matters.
It always matters, Ephraim. It just so happens that this time it matters to you. But that doesn't mean that
Amy matters to me. And as pathetic as it may be, you were her only shot. She's not used to being let down by you. Not yet.
Listen to me, Ephraim. These people asked me what I would do if it were my son. And I told them that I thought it was risky. It's tempting to leap in and try and surgically fix things.
That's a load. You know it. If it were your son, if it were me, you'd let me sit there in a coma when there was a zillionth of a percent chance you could ride in on your white horse and save me? I don't think so. And if I didn't know any better, I'd think you were scared. We're gonna be late.
I thought it was really nice little acting moment for Treat Williams when Ephraim was like, you're kidding yourself. Like, this is like, you would never turn down, mm-hmm, a job like this. And like, Andy's like almost impressed. Mm-hmm. His face is like, oh, really?
Mm.
Like, so standing up to me, are you? Like, this is a good little moment.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think? Do you think Andy's going to do the surgery?
Well, I think either Andy's going to do the surgery and the kid will die. And so then there's this weird, like, oh no, he died and that's guilt stuff. Or he'll do it and he'll wake up, obviously, and that's just that. But I don't think that'll happen, because if he does that and he just wakes up, then there's no more, like, there was no drama to the point where the girl and the boy, like, were, wait, what did that just happen? Wait, he just played the song. What happened at the end? Did she say anything?
No.
Was it hinted that maybe she liked him? I'm trying to remember what happened at the end now.
No, the song just played and then it went to another scene.
He played the song for her.
Okay. Because she's opening up and she's like, yeah, play the song for me. Okay. So like, it kind of happened. Mm-hmm. Kind of happened.
Everwood trivia, if you look closely in that scene as the camera kind of pans out, she's totally fingering herself.
I thought you were going to say there's a little person hanging in the background.
Oh, like the Wizard of Oz? Yes.
I just make that fucking joke on our podcast, like,
oh, maybe, I don't
past
know.
Last Friday, that's
it's a good,
really
it's a good
weird
go-to reference.
Everyone wouldn't get sloppy seconds. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, Eric stole my joke and used it here. I don't.
That's,
I think
so
I did
sloppy.
Just bring it up.
Wait, what do we think about Amy's line early in the episode about, like, I saw the documentary about coma patients. Some of them had, like, mm-hmm, curled up hands like that kid in Special Ed.
Oh, my God.
They gave a specific name for whoever it was, Jennifer something.
I was like, huh, okay.
Well,
like,
okay. Well, guess what? That's what a kid would say.
It is what
it's what a kid would say. And you know what? It might be wrong, but it's what a kid would say. And you know what?
Or
it
something
might be
worse.
Even what adult would say. Right. I mean, they could, like, say something worse, but I think the point is, like, she's not a bad person. She's just saying,
right.
Just, that's,
yep,
the
it's her world.
That's
her
person
go-to
I
reference.
Know that has that condition. So yep. I'm referring to her. Right. It's insensitive, but she's a teenage girl, yep, and she's upset. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's pretty good writing, actually.
It's realistic. Yeah.
And also that leaf was cool.
That was really cool.
I'm not kidding.
Yes,
it was really cool.
I absolutely agree. I didn't know what they were painting at first. I was like, what are they? How is it three? What
right,
are they
on
doing?
This like crumpled up paper.
And then she lifted it up and I was like, whoa, art project.
That was neat.
Neat. Mm-hmm. Yes, very cool.
Ooh, should I look up who the art designer.
Leaf art designer, please.
I'm not going to do that.
Also, Dr. Abbott waited 3 hours for those seats.
Oh, I know.
So pathetic.
That's cute. That's another cute parenting reveal.
Yeah, I know.
But the line right before that, when Andy like compliments him, he's like, you know what you're doing? He's like, I read The Art of War.
Yeah. He's so a total, good. he's a snide guy, but he's also a total dweeb. He's so like he's
great.
A,
he's so great.
Oh, I love him. Yes. Mm-hmm. I think he's just this very dweeby sometimes like mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
And I've said before, I love any interaction between Ephraim and Dr. Abbott.
Mm-hmm.
And like, even just like, so Amy's having her little breakdown mm-hmm. when Colin's mom brings her the flowers that Colin would normally bring her.
Aww.
Like, first of all, I love Amy's acting in that scene. Like, I yep. love her playing that kind of mm-hmm. breakdown moment.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Emily Van Camp, like, she just nailed it. Mm-hmm. And we got the song Nightingale. Is that Norah Jones?
Oh, I didn't hear it. What? How did it go?
Do, do, do.
Anyway. Nice little musical cue. But yeah, her breakdown. I love Ephraim kind of coming out and like getting Dr. Adam.
Yeah.
That was a great. He was like, I can't fix this.
Yeah.
And then he went and got her parents. Like,
yeah.
And then, of course, the look he gives is to Andy at the end of that scene.
Oh,
is like, it's all your fault.
That's what yeah. I was like, what the fuck? Shut up. Like, even you, oh man, that was so absurd. That was so guilt. That was like manipulative. Like that. Come on. I know I disagree with a lot of this teenage boy's shit, but what the hell?
Everyone is trying to manipulate Dr. Brown into giving them what they want. He's just trying to be a good person. He's trying to be a better person than he used to be.
Yep. He's trying to join the family or the human race.
Welcome to the human race, Dr. Brown. And if I recall correctly, that line is going to be in so many recaps.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Maybe just a couple, but I just remember that being the last line of like at least two or three uh-huh.
yep.
episodes. Like months. Welcome to the human race, Dr. Brown.
And it's really fun. I just
hinting at the whole sci-fi turn that this takes, the show yeah. takes in season 3.
Whoa.
To edit together a horror movie trailer.
Yeah.
Welcome to the human race, Dr. Brown.
What does happen to people who deny their neuroses? I mean, like, and then intercut,
oh my
like,
God.
Like, her lines with, like, scenes of, like, him talking to his dead wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Wow.
It's my next project.
Good.
Were you going to say something about that last line, KT?
Yeah. I just thought it was, because I was writing notes because I don't remember anything. And it was very funny that was the last line because earlier I was writing notes about Treat Williams acting, which still fascinates me. It fascinates me. So the note that I had was that he's very much obviously a theater actor, I think. Like he's very exaggerated in some of his expressions and his movements and his reactions to people. That's like some of those things are very theatrical
for the stage, whatever.
Yes, like, for the stage. Yes,
bigger,
right.
than usual.
And yes, I said like his reactions are bigger. He has this open body a lot. And then I said he plays this character like he's a newborn baby. And then I said, "Yeah, welcome to the human race, you fucking bewildered baby." That's what I just wrote. Like, yeah. for real, mm-hmm. he really, I feel like that's why it's always so weird to me because he's obviously a man that's, he's got to be in his 40s, right? In this show, he's got to be.
Yeah.
Right?
Late 40s.
He's got a fairly, I mean, not he's got a kind of weathered face, not in a bad way. He's a handsome man, but he's got a, you know, weathered, more weathered face. But he always has these like big eyes, like to everything, like, whoa, like, and I'm always like, what? He's bewildered by everything. But I mean, he's great. Like, I'm really, really growing fond of him in so many ways. You know that I'm constantly
real quick,
following him on
when
Twitter
this show now. Premiered, he was 51.
See?
Or 50, almost 51.
Yeah, like, right, that's what I'm saying. He is not a 30-year-old parent. He's not a 20-year, he always acts so amazed by, doesn't he? Is that just me? He's amazed by everything.
Yeah.
I think that comparison to like a baby yes. is really funny. I and spot on.
Yeah.
Yes. I thought that was fucking weird. Look at my notes. Newborn baby. Welcome to the human race, you fucking bewildered baby.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm glad you're growing increasingly fond of Treat Williams.
Oh, Treat Williams. Parts.
We gotta wrap this up. The next episode is called. Oh wait, do we want to? We need to rate this episode.
Oh yeah, stars.
So this was like so going into it. I guess it's just fives across the board for me.
Okay? I would imagine. Yeah, knowing this is coming, I was probably at a four because Dear God brought us down a little bit.
The same thing I was gonna say. So I'm gonna take the same answer as you.
Yep. Then watching it, five. Solid five. Yeah. Solid five watching it. And yeah, looking forward to more. If we keep going with this, five.
Okay. So I have the same comment about the first, except mine had escalated to a five. My first one, it was a four because I was kind of disappointed with that last episode. And then knowing what we were going to be on doing
tonight,
like, tonight, because it's fucking election night and distracting ourselves with this and like spending time with Adam, I was really looking forward to, because I was like, you know what? Like, this is going to be fun. Mm-hmm. It's going to be good.
Good point.
I like this show. And so it had escalated to a five, and then it was like 10 when I was watching it.
That's not fair. It's out of five. You can't do more than
5.9.
Nope.
No.
Okay, Forrest McNeil from Review.
Oh.
It's a five-star system. Can't go more than 5 stars.
We need to watch more of that. Man.
Racism, half a star. Zero stars.
Oh, my God.
Well, we don't give 0 stars. We had multiple
Oh, I love him so much. So he's so good. Funny.
So, I'm so glad that you guys enjoyed this episode.
Yes.
Next episode is called We Hold These Truths.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. Is that where, did he steal that line from that? From
yes.
These?
Hamilton stole a lot from everyone.
It's clear. Wendell is like
especially
half of the
diversity.
Musical.
Wendell. Does Wendell ever come back? I don't know.
Don't look it up.
You don't know. I love that Adam, who is obsessed and has talked about the show for years, doesn't know if Wendell comes back. How is that possible? Oh, man.
So the next episode is We Hold These Truths. What do you think the episode is going to be about?
God, I have no guess, because we know Adam has said it's not about an election.
Do we meet the town dentist and it's We Hold
these tooths? Oh, yeah. So we have the doctors, we have a therapist, and now they're going to meet the crazy town dentist.
Right, exactly.
And Harold's going to be like, oh, what a quack. Not a real doctor. A tooth doctor. Get out of here. Of course you'd like this dentist. Dr. Crowns.
Oh.
Brown needs crowns.
Mm-hmm. Could it be about like some kind of student body writing a document? Something more about the kids, because I feel like maybe this last one was more about the grown-ups. Like something
you heard it here first, everybody. The next episode of Everwood is about the student body writing a document.
I mean, yes, it would be very thrilling for 14-year-olds.
Well, this has been fun.
Yes.
All right, cool. Well, let's do the theme song together to say goodbye.
All right, let's do it even higher.
And a one, and a two, and one, two, three.
Do, 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 do.
I had to change to you because I heard you more. I was hearing him and then I heard you. Oh man, that was bad.
All right. Good night, everybody.
You look vaguely familiar to me.
Perhaps I remind you of one of the inmates you knew at whatever asylum you escaped from.
So lay it on me.
What does happen to those unfortunate individuals who deny their own neuroses?
How great is that? We'd be moving someplace for no reason at all.
The effects vary, of course.
That's not great. That's crazy. That's Harrison Ford and Mosquito Coast crazy.
You say crazy, I say it might be the sanest thing I've ever done.
By the way, dude, nice dad. I'm just curious, has he always been such a head case or just since your mom bought it?
Get off it! In extreme cases, the pattern can be something along the lines of complete emotional spiral.
I wish you died instead of her!
I wish I did too, you little fat man!
I hate you!
I hate the right back! Now get in that house!
It was easier before, and I didn't care. If you ever say that again, I swear to God, I won't be responsible for what I do to you.
Andy, you were always only just half a person.
Resulting in total breakdown.
As a man, you're like glass. No substance. No soul. This is going to be fun.
You don't say.
Welcome to the human race, Dr. Brown.